time to join the American Family Robinson again in Centerville. The Save the Herald Society is carrying on its good work. The subscriptions are rolling in. Editor Luke hasn't yet been told of the drive, and he's resigned himself to seeing the Herald cease publication and to see himself a failure. The time's growing short, and now we find Editor Luke coming home, squaring his shoulders and mustering up a smile as he opens the door.
Well, hello, Myra.
Hello, Luke, dear. Well, how did it go today?
Oh, about the same. There isn't much to do.
Well, you're home early tonight anyway.
Yes, I guess you'll have to get used to having me home early. And late, too.
Well, I won't object to that. It's rather nice having you at home.
Well, that's a comfort. You may change your mind when I'm around all the time.
I'll do nothing of the sort. Come on in and sit down now.
Yeah.
Here, let me put your slippers on. Yeah. You must be tired, dear.
Oh, no, not very tired. Where's everybody?
Why, they're all out.
They seem to stay out most of the time these days. I didn't know my troubles had made me so unpleasant. My family can't stay in the same house with me.
Why, Luke, it isn't that at all. They're just busy.
Oh, I guess so. Trying to find a place to land after the wreck. Bob and Dick have been avoiding me at the office and here, too.
Oh, you're just getting oversensitive, dear. They're not avoiding you deliberately. And you know how much they all love you. All of them.
Oh, I suppose they do. In a pitying way.
Oh, Luke, you mustn't let yourself be discouraged. Everyone thinks you're just as highly of you as they always have. And this is... Well, it's going to turn out all right. Why, maybe the Herald won't have to quit after all.
Nothing can change that. The Herald is finished. But that's no reason why I should mope around, I guess. I'm sorry, Mara.
Oh, that's better. And I'll tell you what. Hmm? There are only two of us for dinner. I'll bring it in here on the tea wagon, and we'll eat it by the fire. Would you like that?
Oh, be fine.
I'll be back in a jiffy. Want a book to read while I'm gone?
No. I want to jot down some ideas I have for a farewell editorial for the last issue.
Oh, Luke, don't.
No. I'm not grieving about it. Only my swan song will require some thought.
All right. I'll be back in a minute.
See. Luke Robinson, editor. The late editor of the late Centerville Herald. My last editorial. Let me see. As we go to press for the last time, the Herald hopes that in these columns you have found some pleasure, some encouragement, a little knowledge of conditions today. With the wolf howling at our door. Aha, the wolf. Hello. Oh, Betty. I began to think you'd moved out of town. Tonight? Why, yes, I'm going to be home all evening. What? Oh, all right, I'll call her. Myra.
Who is it, dear?
It's Betty.
Oh.
She seemed disappointed when she found out I was going to be home.
Luke Robinson, you're imagining things. You go on out and finish dishing up dinner for me.
All right, if you think I can do it.
Betty. But what in the world did you say to your father? Oh. Well, he's got the idea that none of you like him because you're avoiding him. But of course I know you don't want him to know about the idea, but he doesn't know why. Oh, he's so discouraged, Betty. I'm going to tell him. Let him know that the Herald might be saved. All right, I'll wait. But how can we have a meeting without his knowing? Well, I'll try. But don't let him know you wanted him to go off to bed. Yes, do come over there. Yes, we'll be through dinner in a little while. Goodbye.
Well, I wheeled the thing in here without spilling a drop.
Good. You'd make a wonderful waiter. And now we'll put it right over here.
Say, you know, that's something I might be able to do. Be
what?
A waiter.
Oh.
Is Betty coming?
Of course. I don't know what in the world made you think she doesn't want to see you.
Oh, I don't know. I guess the same thing that makes me think that everybody along the street is pointing me out and saying, there goes Robinson, failure. The man who thought he could run a newspaper.
Oh, Luke, dear. It isn't you who failed, or the Herald. It's just that, extra burdens have been placed on you, unfair burdens that you couldn't foresee and prepare yourself for.
Well, I know it, really, but The result's the same. If I could only have held on a little longer, Myra, and taken advantage of the improving business conditions. Well, since the Supreme Court decided that business cannot be held in check by the federal government, only the Herald isn't going to be able to take a new lease on life. Forge ahead. The Herald dropped by the wayside. That's what makes it so hard.
Well, you can't be so sure that the Herald is out of it. Not until it actually closes up.
No, I'm not counting on miracles.
You never can tell about miracles. You know, they crop up unexpectedly. Oh, but there, now. Don't think any more about it. Eat your dinner, dear, please. And, tell me about the editorial.
I'm going to attempt to sum up my whole experience and all my years of watching the wheels go round. And then I'm going to deliver one final comprehensive piece of advice. My last to the readers of the Herald, and hope that it may help them make sense out of all the confusion that's whirling about their heads.
My goodness, that sounds like a tremendous undertaking. Can you do all that in one issue?
In half a column. I don't suppose it'll do any good. People don't want to hear advice from a...
Luke, don't you dare say that word again. You're not a failure, and you never will be, no matter how many newspapers may be knocked out from under your feet.
I stand corrected. It's a pretty simple idea. The whole article will be based on a letter I got from a puzzled reader. Would you like to hear it?
But if it doesn't mean your dinner will get cold.
The letter says, Dear Editor, I am a stockholder in a large corporation. The president of the corporation sent me a letter saying that my dividends would be cut on account of increased corporation taxes. He also said that if pending legislation, which would still further increase taxes, were passed, my dividends might have to be dispensed with. Now, my problem is this. My brother claims that the president of the corporation has no business writing that letter, that he is just trying to get out of paying me my dividends so his own income will be increased, and that he's interfering in politics. And why doesn't he stick to his own business? What I want to know, Mr. Editor, is who shall I believe, my brother or the president of the corporation? And it's signed, Puzzled.
Well, what's your answer to that?
My answer is the advice I've given to readers. The president of that corporation has built up a big, successful business now, hasn't he?
Yes.
He couldn't have done it without fair dealing, honesty, and intelligence, could he?
No.
He couldn't have done it without the help of his stockholders, could he?
Why, I suppose not.
Then isn't it reasonable to suppose that he has learned by this time just how much taxes affects his business and the welfare of his stockholders? And wouldn't it be his duty to protect his stockholders' interests by telling them what he has learned from experience? They've invested money in his judgment as a good businessman. If he concealed his judgment from them, he couldn't expect them to continue to invest their money in his company. It's his duty to give them the facts relating to their mutual business.
Why, yes, dear, that's perfectly obvious. But is that an answer to all the confusion?
The principle involved is the answer. If people want to know how to run the business of the country successfully, the answer can be found by asking a man who has run his business successfully. The same thing applies to everything. If the people want to know how to run the government, follow the outstanding examples of successful government, the Constitution of the United States.
Oh, yes. It's simple enough and true enough. In other words, when in doubt, look around for the nearest experienced expert.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If I could only make people realize that one little formula holds the answer to all our troubles, I wouldn't mind its being my last editorial.
Oh, don't call it the last, Luke. Call it the first in a new series.
Well, I don't suppose I will be able to stop. I'll probably keep right on writing them, even if they're destined for the fireplace instead of the composing room.
Oh, Luke.
No.
Oh, here they are.
Here we are.
Betty and Dick, come in, kids. Let me look you over.
Oh, dear, now we've dawdled over dinner and we're not half through.
Well, take it away. I don't want any more.
Why, what's the matter, Daddy? Off your feed?
No, I'd rather see you two than eat.
A noble view of us. That's a pretty high rating.
I've missed you the last few days.
Oh, we've been pretty busy, you know.
There. Oh, yeah. You've located something? A job for after the Herald goes?
Well, I've got a fine prospect. If it turns out, I'll be sitting pretty.
Well, that's fine. It seems strange not seeing you around the office, Dick. Not having an office, for that matter.
Oh, you'll get used to your new condition. You'll probably like it.
Not much chance. A chimney corner never appealed to me.
Why, Daddy, you'd make a lovely chimney corner ornament. Mm-hmm. I'd come and polish you off on alternate Thursday.
Now, don't tease him, Betty. He's tired. And he really ought to be in bed.
In bed? What in the world are you talking about? I don't want to go to bed, and I love to be teased.
Well, you do look awfully tired, Daddy. Hmm? Are you sure you're not running a temperature or anything?
Oh, good heavens, no. Are you trying to talk me into a decline?
Well, you can't be too careful, you know. It's awfully easy to catch things when you're under a strain, and then complications set in.
Oh, nonsense. Never felt better in my life, physically.
You know, that's just the trouble. You get to thinking you can do anything, and the first thing you know, you're cracked.
Yes.
My sainted aunt. Myra, what's the matter with him? Why? Never been sick a day in my life. Oh, what is all this?
Why, nothing, dear, nothing. They just want to, take care of you.
Well, I don't need taken care of. I don't intend to go to bed. Now you're here, I'd like a chance to talk to you.
Oh, I give up. We'll have to wait for Bob anyway. But as soon as he comes, off you go to bed.
Wait for Bob? I suppose the family's going to be called to the bedside. I'm not sick, I tell you.
Oh, no, dear. She just meant that Bob,
She meant you ought to see Bob before you go to bed.
Well,
yes.
I'm not going to be chased to bed anyway, but is anything wrong with Bob?
Well, I'm afraid there is. He's been mooning around again. He's got that look, you know.
Oh.
I'm afraid he's in love again.
Oh, is that all? That happens every 2 weeks. And it's no good for me to talk to him.
No, there's really no point in your waiting up for him, Daddy. If it wouldn't do any good, would it? And, oh, good heavens, Mother. Look, Daddy's face, it's all flushed.
Huh?
Oh, I'm sure he's got a temperature.
I will not be put to bed.
Say, there's not a minute to lose. He's getting delirious.
Oh, for goodness sakes, children. You'll have him really sick if you keep up.
Really sick? Why, Mother, he is really sick, and I'm going to call an ambulance.
No, wait. No, don't do that. I'll not go to a hospital, not if I'm dying.
Well, if you'll go to bed, I won't.
Well, all right. I'll go to bed. Myra, I do feel a little giddy.
Now you've done it. You've got him scared sick. Oh, come on, dear, let me help you up the stairs. You'll be all right in the morning.
That was a mean trick. But Daddy is such a tough customer. Gee, Dick, I had to do it.
You nearly ruined the whole thing with that crack about waiting for Bob.
I know. It just slipped.
I'll never forgive either of you for this. That poor man was in a bad state enough over the Herald, and, well, now you've got him to thinking that he's going to die of some strange disease.
I'm sorry, darling, but stern measures were required, and he'll get well quick enough tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. And you'll forgive us, too, when you hear.
What is it?
We've done it.
Done what?
We've got enough subscriptions and contracts for advertising.
Yeah.
We counted them up, and we're sure.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to Mr. Markham for the loan tomorrow.
And by this time tomorrow night, we can let Daddy in on it, and the Herald will be saved.
Now, if Mr. Markham gives us the loan, but we can celebrate this much anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, children.
The Save the Herald Society is over the first hurdle. Will they get the loan from Mr. Markham? Join us on our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.